It's 7 minutes after 10. I'm Kara Lawrence. My guest today is professor of jazz and bassist Tom Kanifik. Tom, this interview is putting a little bump in my normally sleepy transition from summertime to the full fall season, because it doesn't feel like it really gets cranked up until a bit later. But we have to inform listeners that this Sunday is one of the biggest concerts of the season happening at the School of Music.
I would say both musically and in terms of the importance of the event and the backing of it, and institutionally, Chamber Music America, we can talk more about that. But sometimes schedules are what they are, and there was really only one date for this for the entire year. We've been working on this project for a full calendar year. It's Edward Simon, who is our visiting artist in residence as a pianist and composer. He took Fred Hirsch's place. This is actually his fourth year. It seems like it was just yesterday. We're figuring all this out. And he's a very prolific composer, and he likes to work in bigger formats. He's with the San Francisco Jazz Collective, for instance, from its beginning, I believe. And he came to us with a project to premiere a 40-minute suite, the Venezuelan suite. He's a native of Venezuela. For nine players, a woodwind quintet, the Amani Winds, which is a very fabulous, out-of-the-box chamber wind group, and his own fabulous quartet, Afinidad, which has, it's an all-star group. And so it's a nonet of maybe unlikely combinations this Sunday, premiering that work and others, but the basis of it is the Venezuelan suite.
The Venezuelan suite has been recorded before. It's actually one of my favorite Edward Simon recordings. So luckily we have some of that to listen to this hour. The other work is called House of Numbers,
I believe. Of Numbers. Actually, that's the project. And Ed likes to work in terms of formulas, and he's got a really polyrhythmic approach to the entire the way he sees and hears music. It's funny because it's very poetic playing and it's very lyrical. And I would say there's a real romantic, impressionistic bent to him. But he also has a great head for numbers. And I think that plays into this a little bit, too.
So for 4 years, Edward Simon has visited Western Michigan University to work with students and to perform public concerts. And where does he base himself now?
Well, he's moved around a little bit. I think he originally came to the States at age of 15 or 16, and did his early training in Philadelphia. And he was there on his own as an exchange student and based in, from Venezuela to Philadelphia. But he made it work for himself. He was based in Florida when we engaged him, when I signed him on to WMU. And his wife is a teacher, and she had a really great a Montessori program that she had helped build. And so that's, basically he toured out of where she needed to work. But the program with the San Francisco Jazz Collective just kept gaining steam. And, he was traveling from basically the Orlando airport to SFO pretty regularly, and not to mention Kalamazoo pretty regularly. And so they tried to take one of the angles out of the triangle, I guess. And they're in the Bay Area now. They've moved into San Francisco area, and he commutes from there.
Besides being a great improviser and technically an excellent pianist, I'm thinking that he wouldn't have succeeded with the San Francisco Jazz Collective, which brings together some of the hottest talents for a short, intense period, if he didn't have these incredible, this creativity for arranging and setting things for a wide variety of people.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's a musician's musician. He's a writer at heart, an arranger at heart. And it's been pretty exciting to be around him for these past 4 years. There's always something special coming out of him, and he's always thinking, for the next thing. He's really very visionary. Last March, we featured him for the first time as the guest for our 36th annual, I believe I'm correct in that, Western Invitational Jazz Festival. And he really didn't have like a big band repertoire at that point, and he had some, but we needed a whole concert, and he created and had some other people help him create a repertoire of big band works featuring himself. And then it goes the other end. Last year, he also premiered with my colleague Andrew Rathbun a book of Mom Poop pieces, which ended up on soprano saxophone and piano, and they kind of improvised.
Classical composer.
So yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So he's basically just like musician with a capital M, you know.
This event will be held at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday, September 11th. The event is ticketed. The tickets will be available at the door or through the Miller Auditorium.
Absolutely.
Box yeah. office beforehand.
Absolutely.
So up to 9 musicians, kind of spearheaded, though, by Edward Simon.
It's all his project. He dreamed it up. He brought this to us last October, and he had two institutions that were interested in supporting this premiere. One was the Brubeck Institute at the University of the Pacific, which I have some association with. And the other was the Walton Center for the Arts, as in the Walton family, as in, you know, where all the money goes, you know. And those two institutions wanted to back him, and they were applying to Chamber Music America, which is the umbrella organization for all small group, you know, musical activities in this country, really all high-end stuff. But they needed a third, the particular grant, the Presenters Consortium grant, needed a third applicant, and they also needed a lead applicant. Neither of those other institutions were willing to be like the spearhead of the grant application, because it's a lot of work. And they said, well, maybe we can do that. I have a new friend at our foundation, Suzanne Lutwick, who's a really big help. She loves the music and she loves to help, and she's very effective. So she and I decided that we were going to go for it, and then learned the deadline was, you know, a fortnight away, maybe even less. It was like, it was like
weeks?
10 days, yeah,
wow.
Something like that. And it's, you know, a monumental task. But not only did we make the deadline and as lead applicant of that consortium of presenters, Chamber Music America was so excited about what we did, they went beyond the funding limit that they were supposed to do and gave us all bonuses because of the quality of the application, which allowed us to really pull it off. I didn't know how we were going to do it otherwise. It's a big deal. I mean, it's certainly, I think, one of the biggest things happening in Kalamazoo in terms of the level and creativity and the, you know, of the event. There's national coverage of it. You know, people are very interested all over that this is happening at all.
You're a very busy man. You wouldn't mess around with weeks of applications if you didn't truly believe in the project.
Well, no, I mean, and part of the thing of getting Edward here originally is just the synergy. I mean, you know, that's what you have to, I mean, sometimes it's really easy to forget. This guy's traveling, you know, from San Francisco to Kalamazoo on a regular basis. And so, you know, any thinking person would at some point say, well, why, you know? And it's certainly not the salary, you know, in and of itself, but it's about the possibilities and the synergy of creating programs. We offered him a string orchestra 2 years ago in a February concert. You never get to do that. You have to be, you know, either commissioned by an orchestra and then you have limited rehearsals, or in this case, a university program that works in ways that many don't. You know, and we bring all of our forces together and make things interesting happen. So he was very intrigued by the possibility. So we've done orchestra with him. We've done straight up jazz, small concerts, bigger concerts. And now we're featuring him in probably, this is probably the compositional, this is opus magnum for him, I would think, at this point, you know. So, and who knows what's next?
Well, I want to talk about Imani Winds for a minute. This group first came to Kalamazoo on a Fontana season. I think they formed around the year 2000. They were all, you know, conservatory musicians and people of color, and they joined together as a woodwind quintet. Well, you know, you and I know that there's string quartets all over the world doing pretty well, you know, yeah, getting residencies, but woodwind quintets are few and far between.
Yeah.
And they created a dynamic of excitement for the woodwind quintet.
Yeah, there was nothing that looked or sounded like them at the time, right?
Exactly. They continued to come back to Kalamazoo, it seems, a few times. They worked in schools here for a while when they were here. And members branched off into writing their own pieces for the group.
Right.
And then they were seeing so many exciting things happening with their friends in New York who are jazz players, that they started blending that category too.
The lines are blurred. You know, I've been dreaming of erasing lines since I can remember, and it's happening. You know,
it truly is. So a few years ago, they recorded music, original music by Wayne Shorter, Paquito de Rivera, and Jason Moran.
Right.
Let's take a short break and hear Imani Wins with Coin Coin's Narrative. It's the second movement from Jason Moran's Kane. Music just written a few years ago by the jazz piano prodigy Jason Moran for the Imani Wins. The Imani Wins are a truly important group of players in classical music who have blurred that line, as Tom says, over to jazz and are creating a new repertoire. That repertoire gets expanded on Sunday in this concert of great importance from, you know, nationwide artists who are essentially premiering a work this weekend in Kalamazoo.
That's it. I mean, Chamber Music America believed in it so heartily. I mean, you never know, but we certainly couldn't have done it without them. But that for them, it's a big deal, you know, and they're putting it all over their sites and everything. So, of course, it's huge for Edward and all the musicians, and massively huge for us. And just to give you an idea, within the band, within Edward's quartet, just the drummer alone, Brian Blade, who's, you know, really, really famous. I mean, there are students that are just want to go because of the drummer. They don't even, it doesn't, like, everything else is, that's cool. But Brian Blade's in the house, you know, and that's one of nine. So it's a big deal.
So some are just going to be watching the one guy on the drum set.
You know how people are. You
know? Who are some other
Well, David Binney is the saxophonist, and Scott Colley is the bass player. That's a quartet, right, with Ed Simon on piano. And Ed and I actually go back quite a ways. We played a concert together. It was actually for Fontana. I'm sure I've met him before that. But Luciana Souza, the great Brazilian singer, was here. And she had a residency, like a three-day residency through Fontana. And their band, that same bass player, Scott Colley, was snowed in New York. It was a February concert. So I got, somebody reached me where I was conducting at 5 in the afternoon, or maybe 4, if I could be on stage for a sound check, you know, within the hour, in a concert that evening with Luciana. And I think before I hung up the phone, I was probably on stage saying, "And what would you like to start with?" Because you know? She's one of my, I love, I mean, I'm a big Brazilophile, if you didn't know that. And so, you know, I've been listening to her from forever. And so I got to play a concert. It was just Edward had made it in because they were doing things before as a duo. And then played a concert on a sound check, and it was dreamy. And a big part of that was also Edward Simon. And then I bumped into him in Paris a few years later at some festival that we shared, and it was a great surprise reunion. And we keep bumping into each other. San Francisco Jazz Collective brought him here again through Fontana a few years later. So when Fred Hirsch actually, we just realized he couldn't, it was just after he'd been so sick that he couldn't keep up coming here regularly and do it justice. That's what his words. All roads, all signs pointed to Edward Simon. I can't tell you the number of people that, you know, and there's actually some karma about that. So I'm trying to reach him, and Stefan Harris was also strongly promoting him, and Stefan Harris had been here quite a bit up to that point. And Stefan says, well, call me. I'm going to be traveling to Brazil, but if you call me in this time on this tour, I should be able to. So I called him, and he'd just landed in Brazil, or it was just about to take off. He goes, Ed Simon's on the tour. Ed Simon's on the tour. Here, I'll pass the phone. So it was that kind of thing, you know, all of a sudden. And then we talked, and next time they were just leaving for Brazil, and then next phone call was from Brazil. And then, you know, a few more phone calls later, and Ed Simon's signed on to Our Fair City.
So visiting Western Michigan University.
Of course.
That's wonderful. You just talked about jumping in at the last moment in a concert. You're just going to have to indulge me while
Please.
I ask about what seems like a contradiction to my ears. Because sure, if you're playing standards that everyone knows, you can jump in at the last moment. But jazz has become, or some jazz, is amazingly complex.
Yes,
and
yes, it is.
I don't really believe that even the top musicians can just wing it with music that is so finely arranged and fixed.
Well, if the parts that need to be played specifically, you know, the note specific parts are reasonably well written, and some people are better at that than others. But if they're reasonably well written, like Luciana's. And if the parts that are improvised, you know that music just by ear, you've loved, say, her music, and you've listened to a lot, it sure makes it a lot easier.
I see. You know,
if you knew nothing about that person's aesthetic or didn't have any history of listening, so much of it is just like having it in your head anyway.
Are all top musicians prepared to sight read music if needed?
I think there's a lot of, you know, so many musicians of all, we've done a really great job in higher music education, right? There's more brilliant, amazing, talented, stunning musicians out there than jobs, unfortunately. The upside is, but the level is just like really high. I mean, you find conservatory trained people coming out that can just do about anything, like all over the place. You know, the trick, I think, is finding more opportunities. But yeah, the level's just, you know, it's just keeps rising and rising.
On Sunday, we're going to hear Edward Simon's jazz group with Imani Wins in a brand new piece for all, that full force called House of Numbers.
House of Numbers.
You don't have any clues about what direction he's going in.
Yeah, but I've actually seen a bunch of it, and he was working on some of it here on stage a couple times, and yeah, and he's kind of workshopped some things here, but you know, he has this, it's a really interesting thing, and I think it's, we had Miguel Zinon here it's been 2 years, but for me, it seems like yesterday. When people have that sort of presence in personality and art, I mean, they never really leave. And so that's why I always think like, well, Miguel was just here, it was a year and a half ago, because I still feel like he was just here and this music's around. So Edward has this background and this love for Venezuela. I mean, really, he really carries that culture, and he talks about it. He's talked to it up towards it with our students and with high school students. And then he also has this mind for really incredible polyrhythmic approach, which is very hard. That music is very hard to play. And he's brought some things into us, workshopping them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I don't think you're going to be able to get, you know, a section of viola's Divisia 4 to play those 3 meters at the same time and really sound the way your synthesizer does, or your computer, your software does. So, but he has that kind of mind, and I'm sure he's pushed it all to the edge and he's found the players that can do it. And his quartet's been with him for years. So.
It sounds like a great trade where you offer him resources of live musicians willing to play his music in the moment.
And work on it, too.
And then he will pass on his expertise to the students he works with.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And all that still with this sort of like lyrical background and this folkloric tradition that he'll talk about that more than anything else, and yet he's got brings the Einstein to it too. It's a really beautiful synergy.
I have the Venezuelan suite queued up here. Let's listen to a movement called Maracaibo. Here's Edward Simon and a group of his regular jazz friends, as well as some Venezuelan musicians. Mm-hmm. Edward Simon there with a piece from his Venezuelan suite. And you can really hear the folk instruments or the percussion coming from Latin America.
Yeah, Venezuelan influence in many ways. And also, he's written some pieces, unfortunately I don't have them with me, but influenced by certain poets and, oh my gosh, in folk songs and from the literary tradition of Venezuela. It's all very important to him, and he brings that, you know, with him.
I wish I had gone back and listened to Mr. Simon talking to Keith Hall in a program that they recorded a few years ago now.
One of the Jazz Currents?
Yeah, one of the Jazz Currents series here on WMUK. And I want to say that he did come from a very musical family.
Yeah.
His father also.
His brother's a trumpet player. His brother, who lives in the Netherlands, actually arranged one of the big band pieces that we did last March on our festival.
It's funny because Edward Simon looks like such a, you know, Anglo kind of name.
It looks like a professor, you know, or something.
It's Simon or something.
Edward Simon. And it's not that.
When you're talking about someone like Edward Simon, who is blending some genres here, would you also include him, you know, in a composition category of like the Pulitzer Prize winners for classical or like?
You know, I think that it's all kind of moving in a certain similar direction, and they're parallel but also crossing. But I would say, you know, as he's honing his skills and working on that, you know, is a lot. I mean, he's a touring recording jazz musician, so it's not like he's, you know, takes whole summers to be able to compose things. I don't know how he does it, actually. I remember, you know, when this thing came through, it's like, but then you'll have to have it done by next, you know, whatever. And somehow he always gets the score done. Let's say he's in his early 40s. I think, like, in another decade, there would be no question that the answer would be yes. And that would be like all those genres bending towards each other anyway, you know.
How does he run a rehearsal? How does he interact with students?
He is really specific. He does not mince his words. He's super economical with his words. He's very careful choosing words. It's almost a little halting at first because students are used to like a certain amount of energy and being talked at to a certain extent, I'm afraid to say, you know. And he's like, you know, he takes like a good several seconds to pick a word, and the whole arena there, the whole room is just like silent, and he's like looking up, or he's put his fingers to his lips or his forehead, and then he says exactly what he wants with no more or less words. It's for me, it's inspiring. I can see how it might be intimidating at first to certain people that he's exactly dead on, like, all the time. And that's how he plays. Somebody said, like, they've never heard him play a wrong note, like, in any way, in any context, any, you know, no matter what the music was, which is an interesting way of putting it when you're dealing with improvised music. But he's kind of Mozartian that way. It's just, like, everything is, like, perfect, you know.
For those who just tuned in by chance and heard about Edward Simon, we want to tell you that Edward Simon and his group Afinidad and the Imani Winds will present a new and important piece of chamber music to the American stage on Sunday. It's a concert at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall.
Yes.
Called House of Cards. And we'll see
House of Numbers.
Oh, sorry. House of Numbers.
No, I would have gone there too.
Is that the only piece on the program? Is it
No, there's going to be some other works, but this is a 40-minute piece. Wow. So this is really it. And I don't know what the other material will be. I'm sure hopefully he'll do some things with the quartet alone, but I don't even know that. It's really about this premiere, you know, this 40-minute suite.
It's something not to be missed at Sunday at 7:30. Let's move on, though. as we look ahead, since I have you here, Tom, and it's not easy to get you. There's a lot of exciting activity this semester at the School of Music and the Jazz Studies Department.
There always is stuff going on. The first shout out I have to give is a week from, it's actually next Wednesday, almost said a week from Wednesday. It's next Wednesday. Renata Artman-Kinnifick is giving a solo violin recital, unaccompanied, her on a stage, some a real great collection of works, Bach and Prokofiev, but also, and I'm sure you'll hear about this in her interview next week, Nicholas Rocha, fabulous composer that people really only think of from his great film works. I mean, he wrote so many massive scores. He took Hollywood by storm. But he was writing chamber music, and I don't know that he was a violinist, but I can't imagine him writing what he did without being one. And he's written quite a bit of fabulous music for violin, a sonata for two violins. And she's going to do, I'm sure it's the Kalamazoo premiere of his solo violin sonata. It was just written, it might have been his last work, it was written in the mid-80s. And, you know, it's a phenomenal piece of music. I love it. And she will also premiere a work of our son Gene Kinnifick, who wrote for her for the occasion, for violin and loop pedal, which is another new thing for her.
Oh, my.
So there's cool influences there. What comes after that? I guess the next big thing would be Randy Brecker, who's a dear friend for over 20 years. And we're presenting him on campus in classes, but our concert is at the St. Cecilia Society on Friday, October 7th at 8 p.m.
Grand Rapids,
St. Cecilia Society in Grand Rapids. It's like the main chamber music / jazz hall to play in there. And he will be appearing in a concert setting that mirrors our jazz masters. He'll perform with the faculty, with the WJQ. He'll perform with our jazz orchestra. And he's also going to perform with Gold Company. And each of those groups will play a little bit by themselves, and there'll be a grand finale with everybody. But it's for a national conference that's going on and based in GR that week. And it's also the final night of Art Prize. So it should be a fairly important blowout. that's that. And then I guess there's something going on like every week, but the next massive thing is our Jazz Masters concert on the 27th of October. Peter Erskine, the iconic drummer, Weather Report was one of his first groups, and that iconic and groundbreaking, you know, fusion group. And he's a friend, and he's a good friend of Andrew Rathbun's, and so he will be here performing with basically the same groups I just mentioned, of course, entirely different repertoire. And that takes us through late October. It's probably, you know, a nice horizon to look out for.
You said October 27th with Peter Erskine.
Yes.
Is that at Dalton or Miller?
Dalton Center Recital Hall.
In the Dalton Center. So details on that can be found at the School of Music website or the WMU Jazz.
Yes, absolutely.
What's the website again?
It's just WMU Jazz. That's all you need to know.
Okay. Well, Tom, I think you brought along some more things we can audition here. Ooh. On WMUK. Something special?
Well, you had mentioned, you know, what else is going on. And I've started, I'm in the middle of four recording projects. And I guess the oldest one, which is still needs completing, is one that I started with both Fred Hirsch and with Edward Simon, pianists. And I've got two tracks in the can with Edward of music of mine inspired by my work in Mozambique. And this one, the one that we're going to play, has to do with the first time I met a cheetah. And, I mean, it was from a distance, but, you know, with binoculars and camera, it didn't seem that far. And the title's a little bit more involved in terms of the backstory, but I call it And a Cheetah.
Music of Tom Kniffick. I saw a cheetah.
And a cheetah.
Okay. This is based on an experience you had in
Africa. Yeah, I got to see my first cheetah, and we weren't supposed to. That's sort of the title. We saw everything that they said you'd see if you went to the right places with the right guide. But then at the very end, there was a cheetah, and it was like, look, they never. It was the middle of the day, and it was up standing proudly with his front paws on a big log. It looked like something out of the Disney, you know, Lion King, except it was a cheetah. It was like, and you saw everything. And a cheetah. So it had to be the title.
This is unreleased music right now.
Yeah, shh, don't download this, anybody, please.
When will the project be finished?
Well, I've got four records in queue, so it's hard to say which will come out first, but you know, hopefully in the next year.
That was saxophone playing by...
Andrew Rathbun, yeah. Piano Ed Simon, our guest artist this week, and Keith Hall on the drum set.
And you on bass, of course.
Yeah. My tune.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us. It's kind of nice to have an exclusive.
It's my pleasure.
On WMUK. We are getting close to the end of the hour, and I think we have one more Edward Simon thing to feature that you brought along, a trio recording, a live recording, which is nice. But let's wrap up again with reminding listeners about this weekend's concert.
I would say one of the most important in terms of the event itself and the music and the musicians themselves, Edward Simon, his quartet Afinidad, with the Amani Winds, the chamber wind quintet, world premiere performance, House of Numbers, a 40-minute suite that he's composed, commissioned by Chamber Music America, and actually presented with us by Chamber Music America in a consortium of multi-presenters, the Brubeck Institute, Western Michigan University, and the Walton Center for the Arts in Arkansas.
Those who care about art music in this country are paying attention to this project.
It's got national notoriety. It's a big deal for everybody.
And it's at 7:30 on Sunday in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. This is a ticketed event. You'll want to look at the website WMU Jazz for some more information on prices and how to get them in advance.
And Miller Auditorium is a box office is taking care of us and at the door. There'll be plenty of seats.
Okay. Something else you mentioned was Renata Kniffick's solo violin concert next Wednesday. I'll be talking to her the day of the concert. It sounds like we'll have an interesting conversation about solo violin repertoire.
Fabulous.
Did you mention something between that and Randy Brecker?
Randy Brecker is the next big one for us, which is October 7th. And that's going to be at St. Cecilia in Grand Rapids. And he's going to perform with the Western Jazz Quartet, Jazz Orchestra, and the Gold Company. That's the next biggie, Peter Erskine after that on the 27th of October.
Great, great.
Many more. Those are just like the pinnacles.
Well, come visit lots this year.
Love to.
Let's finish with a piece by Edward Simon. This is the first track on his new CD.
That'd be great poesia.
Nice.